Good evening. Well, as usual, I always have good news for you. And tonight's good news is, fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what do we mean by that? That it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. This thing that we call God only wants to give us things, only wants us to thrive and survive and prosper and have all the abundance and the money and the riches and all the wonderful things, the beauty that is here on this plane of action. That is what this whole thing is about, to see that and to participate in that and not get our minds into that thing of lack and limitation, because there is really no such thing as lack and limitation. Look around. Everywhere you look, there's abundance. Everywhere you look, there's prosperity. And we have to remember that. And we have to put that into our minds. We have so many things going on in our mind about money and about prosperity and abundance that we picked up over the years from our family, from our friends, from the world out there. And most of the things that we've learned about money and finances are wrong. But we live with those. Earlier, you heard Reva say that she used to gamble, and she would say, well, I'll never get money. I'll never be able to do this, that, or the other thing. You see, that was a mindset that she had back then. Now she's changed her mind about all that. And that's what this whole thing is about, is learning to change our mind, is learning to see things differently, and learning that we are the cause under our own experience. If you do not have money, you have to look at yourself and say, why do I not have money? Why, if I live in all this abundance and all this prosperity and it's all around me, why am I not participating in it? Where is my fair share of the pie? We have to be able to go into our own mind and figure out what is keeping us from our good, because our good is always there, but we have to recognize that, and we have to prepare ourselves for our good, and we do that by letting go of old ideas that we had. When I was in college, my college roommate's mother used to say, a fool and his money are soon parted. A fool and his money are soon parted, and I thought, oh, well, I don't have any money, therefore I must be a fool. You see, I had to change my mind about that. I had to change my mind about that. When I was in college and out in the world, money was very difficult to make. And I thought, oh, this is the way it's going to be. But then I changed my mind about that. But I had picked up those ideas from my family, who always struggled over money, who never seemed to be able to make ends meet the way they were supposed to. And we do that, and we imitate our families, and we imitate that part of our money consciousness that comes from our family. Many people are never able to break out of that. They only can do what they saw their parents do, and they cannot break away from that. And if the parents didn't pay their bills on time, the children don't pay their bills on time, because you take all that stuff for granted and you see other people doing it around you and you say, well, that's the way it works. It's the same way in families. When you're living in a family, you think all families are like yours until you get out in the world and discover, oh my goodness, all families are not alike. And when you're around people with money, you start to see that they have a completely different attitude about money. And one of the attitudes that I have discovered that people have that have money is they are not afraid of money. They are not afraid of money. We've been taught to be afraid of money. You're not going to have enough. You have to do this. You have to do that. And we go into lack and limitation because we allow this fear to build up in us instead of realizing that money is always freely circulating in our lives, and we always have a divine surplus. You see, if we have this thing that we call God, and we say that it gives God great pleasure to give you the kingdom, and then we run around and don't accept the kingdom, and we run around and pretend that that isn't true, or we only use those things, here she comes, we only use those things on occasions, like in church. We decide, oh yes, that's absolutely true. God is ready to give us everything. And then as soon as we step out of church, we go right back in to lack and limitation instead of taking that with us. There is no sense saying to yourself, I believe in God, and then not believing in God. It makes no sense whatsoever. If you say, God can do this for me, and God is abundance, God is prosperity, and God is the source of my good, the source of my supply, then you have to remember that every moment of every day instead of buying into what the world is telling you. And right now, if anyone watched the news this evening, the stock market went way down today. And of course, now they're all panicky about that. And they're blaming it, of course. You'll love that. What are they blaming it on, Jim?
On the housing market.
They're blaming it on the housing market. You see, they have to always blame it on something. Now, that was only one channel. But tonight, when I go home, I'll search another channel, and somebody else will tell me something different.
It'll be on every channel.
It'll be on every channel, this one. All right, because it went down, so. But the stock market has no influence on you whatsoever, unless you believe that it does. The stock market goes up and down all the time. So, don't go up and down with the stock market. Stay constant. Realize that's not the source of my supply. And let everybody else out there do what they want to do. But you go ahead and live in your own reality. Live in your own world. And know that this thing called money is there for you. But we push a lot of it away. We push it away with fear. We push it away because we say, oh, we can't do it now. Bad housing market. Look at the stock market. No one has any money. No one is going to buy. People with tons of money didn't faze them in the least. They still have tons of money, and they're still making tons of money, and they're still ready to buy something. And that's what you have to remember. So, there's always money in the world. There's always this abundance. And it's absolutely true that it gives this thing that we call God great pleasure to give you the kingdom. That is everything. That is the abundance. That's the prosperity. That is the money. That is the peace of mind. That is the beauty. It happens to include everything. That is the kingdom, is everything. And that's what we have to remember. So we always start with ourselves. And we always start with what's going on in my thinking. What am I thinking about money? What am I thinking about myself? Do I know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter? Do I know those four items? It's very hard to attract money to you if you don't think that you're worthy to have it, if you don't think you deserve it, if you don't think that you're lovable. And certainly, if you don't think that you matter, why would money ever want to be around you? It wouldn't. It goes energy. Money is energy. And we're creating that energy. We're creating an energy of abundance. We're creating an energy of opulence so that we can draw that to us, so that we can bring things to us. But if you're living in lack and limitation, you're going to stay in lack and limitation. You cannot say that the housing market is really bad and expect to sell a house. You can't do it because your mind has to prove what you're thinking. Your mind will always prove to you what you're thinking. And here again, that is a choice. You are allowed to think anything you want to think. If you want to think that you're poor, go ahead and do that. If you want to think that you're rich, go ahead and do that. So now that you know that you have a choice, wouldn't it be better to think rich? I have a friend years ago said to me, Dallas, I have been rich and I have been poor, and I like rich better. I like rich better. So say to yourself, I like rich better, and go out and be rich. And that doesn't mean that you have to have millions and millions and millions of dollars, you see. Remember, money is never the issue. But we need money because money is freedom. And we need money to have freedom. But it has to start inside of each and every one of us. And we have to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So with that, let's do the matter dance. Kristen. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yay! We're not going to do race mind alerts anymore. Simply because I think by now that we know what race mind is. And we know that it's out there, and we can notice it for ourselves. And sometimes when we talk about it too much, we're bringing that into our consciousness. But the whole thing about race mind and a race mind alert was to show you how subtle it is, how devious it is, and how it's everywhere. You have to pay attention. You have to pay attention constantly. I was talking to a young man today, and he said, well, you know, if it's not one thing, it's the other. You know, that's total race mind. Total race mind. You cannot do that to yourself. Race mind, meaning collective consciousness or what's going on. Race, R-A-C-E. Mind, M-I-N-D. Race mind. Not like a race, you know, track. Race. Or they're also called tribal beliefs. It's what the tribe is thinking at the time, and it's what the world is thinking at the time. The world outside is always into lack and limitation. Outside of thinking, outside of this room, outside of metaphysics, outside of an expanded consciousness. The world itself never teaches success. It teaches lack and limitation. It teaches poverty. Yes, think about it for a while. So anyway, where are we? So we're not going to do race mind things. We all know what it is now. Maybe Krista doesn't because she's new. But it's just what the tribe is thinking at the time. The tribe is saying the stock market, you know, is influencing things. The stock market has no influence on anything unless you allow it to have influence. Otherwise, it's not there. So, with that, tonight's topic happens to be money. Aha! And that's what this whole series of talks, this whole thing is always about, is prosperity and abundance, including money. And what about money? First of all, we know that money is freedom. The other thing that we have to remember about money is God in action. Money is always God in action. It's how this thing that we call God operates on this plane of action. So when we pay our bill, we know that that's God going out to feed other people, to do things. And when you start to look at yourself and look at your life differently, that it's not just begrudging paying the bills and so forth. I had another conversation with a person who said to me, oh, I never get anything in the mail but bills. Now, you know that that's an out-and-out lie because you get all those junk mail. You get all that stuff in the mail. You'd certainly have to get a Christmas card every once in a while or, you know, you'd have to give everything. But their mind completely forgets that, and all I ever get in the mail is bills. That is a very powerful affirmation. Because if that's what you're thinking, you're going to keep getting bills in the mail. You are going to make the bills to come to you because your mind has to do that for you. Your mind has to do that. Is Krista the one that's doing mind, mood?
Yeah.
Well. Pardon?
Yeah.
Behavioral, yes. Well, which is metaphysical also, because change your mind, change your life. Change your mind, change your mood. So it's all done with the mind. Depression, richness, anything you want is done with the mind, you see. We're all, yeah?
My therapist told me once, you'll be able to, your consciousness will change in 18 minutes. You didn't have this consciousness for 18 minutes. And as a matter of fact, it seemed like forever, you know. When you're depressed about something, it seems like, oh, I'm so depressed. And I would, it would help me because I'd be like, I only have 18 minutes to do this. And she was right. It would change.
Yeah.
Just in the pure fact that I was like, oh, I'm not. And I was like, oh, so it is your mind. You're telling yourself you feel like,
yeah,
so you do.
Yeah. Well, give yourself 18 minutes to be depressed and say it's over, you know. That's the way it goes. I often get 2 or 3 minutes of depression, and then I say to myself, this is going nowhere, Dallas. Let's just get right up and get out of this. You're the one that's causing it. You're the one that's doing it. So let's change our mind and let's get active. Let's do something. Let's affirm something here, you know. And my mind changes and my mood changes and my whole actions start to change. But I work on myself all the time. I know that I'm the one that's doing that. I don't wait for anyone to cheer me up. I don't wait for anyone to do anything for me. I do it for myself, you see. And that's what we have to learn. But we are always waiting. Oh, I wish somebody would come around and cheer me up. You know, well, you may wait eternity for somebody to come around and cheer you up. You have to know how to cheer yourself up. You have to know how to stay happy all the time. And you can do that. You say, your natural state of being is joy and happiness and peace. That's a natural state. We learn all this others by the things around us and by growing up and so forth. We learn, oh, depression. We learn this, that, and the other thing. What if we didn't have the word depression in our language? What? We'd be completely different. Remember? Do you remember that tribe in Africa doesn't have a word for want? So they never want for anything. They never want for, they don't have the word. Words will always structure thought. Words always structure thought. That's why we're always changing our vocabulary. That's why I say to people, change that word. Drop that from your vocabulary. Don't use that word anymore. And when you learn to do that, you find all the difference in the world. So with the money thing, you have to say to yourself, I am rich. I am abundant. And then you allow that to happen for you. And I have money circulating in my life. I was invited last Sunday to the Four Seasons for brunch. So that's abundance and prosperity right there. When you're thinking those things, when you're thinking that you deserve those things, that you're worthy of those things, people invite you to those things. But if you think, oh, I'll never get there, many people, oh, that's too rich for my blood, oh, I can't do that. Well, then you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're the one who has to decide who you are and how you're thinking about money and not be intimidated with that. Remember, I don't know if I told this class or the Monday's class when I had my brother and sister-in-law here. They wanted to go to Rodeo Drive. I took them up and down Rodeo Drive. I said there was David Yerman shop there. And I said to them, oh, let's go in. And my sister-in-law said, I could never go into a shop like that. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't go into a shop like that. I said, well, come on, Jack. I can and you can. Let her stand on the street. So she stood on the street. We went in. So I go over to the clerk. They're very nice. And she said, oh, could I show you something? I said, oh, well, we're just looking. And she said, well, and I was looking at watch. She said, oh, would you like to see that one? I said, yes. She pulls it out. I said, oh, isn't that nice? She said, yes, it's $22,000. I said, oh, that's a nice watch. Does it come in with other bands and so forth? She said, well, yeah, we could put another band on there if you want and all this and everything. So I said, oh, could I try that on? She said, absolutely, I tried it on. I'm looking at it. I said, oh, yes, very nice. So then I take it off and I say to my brother, here, try this on. And he's standing. He's standing beside me. I said, here, Jack, try this on. Oh, I could never do that. I could never try it. Oh, no, I couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
But that was the biggest reaction I've ever seen from anyone. He could not put the watch on because it cost too much money. And what does that tell you? That he doesn't think that he's worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that he matters. If you can't put, Reeve and I went shopping on Rodeo Drive, and how much was that ring you put on? Yes, there, $45,000 ring. And he said to her and I, I can make one for you too, meaning me, string one.
Oh, that would be cute.
So that was for 90,000. Didn't he say he could do it? Yes. Yes, so
we're married.
Yes. I could make one.
We're a lovely couple.
Yes. But you have to be able to do that. And let it go, put it on your finger. You don't have to buy it. But you have to, you see, if you have that in your mind, I could never have a $22,000 watch on my arm. What kind of a prosperity consciousness are you building for yourself? What are you telling your mind? Oh, I've got to shop at Kmart all the time. You see, there's nothing wrong with shopping at Kmart, by the way. Very good to shop at Kmart and Walmart and all those places, but you have to build an Neiman Marcus consciousness while you're doing it. There's nothing wrong with saving money. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to also be able to go to Neiman Marcus and the other stores and look around also. Not that you ever have to buy anything in those stores, but you have to say to yourself, I am worthy and deserving, and I can go into those shops. You see, the wife, Jack's wife, could not even go in the store. Can you imagine what she must feel that she can't go into the store? I'll tell you another cute story about them. When I should have brought the picture. My cousin, Margaret, who just came back from a fabulous trip to Russia, Black Sea, on celebrity cruises, beautiful stateroom with veranda out on the stateroom, private entrance to the Hermitage, a big party at one of the palaces, all of this, absolutely free. It was absolutely free. And Margaret didn't say, oh, I couldn't go. She went, you know, but they do that. The company that they have, the man does all this, and it's all this stuff is free. Anyway, back to the story. Margaret lives in a beautiful home, gorgeous home. I always go to visit her when I'm at home. My sister-in-law will not go. I can drag my brother there. Now that we're cousins, by the way. My brother will come sometimes, but she will not come because they're too wealthy for her. They're too wealthy for her, so she won't go. And if you ever met Margaret, you'd just love her. Absolutely, you would never know that she has planes, trains, and buses, and all the stuff that they have. But you have to be able to go in and out of these things. You can't build a prosperity consciousness if you think you can't go into a wealthy home, that you can't do that for yourself. It just will not work. So we have to always be stretching our consciousness and our thinking about money and letting go of all the old stuff that we know about money that we were taught that is wrong, you see. We have to do that. Reva teaches a class about the vagueness around money. Everyone has a vagueness around money, you see. You have to get clear on money. You have to get clear on how much you want. You have to get clear on how much you want to save. You cannot be nebulous about this thing. You have to know that you can create that. And that's what we're doing. We're creating our own prosperity. We're creating our own abundance, and we're certainly creating our own money. I've said this many times, you are your money. What you are thinking about yourself, you see, is what? How much money you're going to have. And if you think I can only make so much, you're only going to be making so much. But you have to keep stretching and stretching and stretching your consciousness. Call it a game if you want. And I tell this story. If you want to stretch your consciousness, go from, most people say, oh, I want the Rolls Royce. Well, it's very difficult to go directly to the Rolls Royce because you haven't built a consciousness for a Rolls Royce. But if you can go from a Ford to a Lincoln to a Cadillac to the next one and then to the Rolls Royce, you see, you can build your consciousness that way. But you can't build a consciousness if you think, I can only ever afford a Ford car. And I'm never even going to look or worry about any other car. Now, Rolls Royces happen to be one of my favorite cars. I just love riding in them. You know, they're just a wonderful, wonderful car. So I always keep that in my mind, a Rolls Royce, you know. But you have to be able to do those things. Will I ever have one? Maybe, maybe not. It doesn't matter. But I know that if somebody said to me, let's take a ride in my Rolls Royce, I would be right there taking a ride in the Rolls Royce. I wouldn't say, oh, no, I can't because I can only get into a Ford, you see. And that's the same way. I can't go into that store because that store is not for me. Well, who is that store for then, you see? Who is that store for? They don't care. They want your money. But you have to be able to go in those places, see what's going on, and then you make the choice if you want to. You make the choice. Has anyone read the book, The Millionaire Next Door? Yes. And some of those people never buy anything expensive. They stay in their same house. Wasn't it Sam Walmart or whatever his name was?
Warren Buffett.
Well, Warren Buffett still has the same house, but didn't Sam from...
Sam Walton stayed
in the same house also. And they have tons of money. Warren Buffett lives in the same house, although he has a Learjet that he runs around in. But he doesn't need the big house. He doesn't need the big show. And the nice thing about Warren Buffett and his wife are, they're giving their money away, and not to their children. And not to their children. A condominium sold in my little complex last week for $515,000. Jenny upstairs, who's quite up in years, said to me, oh, it sold for that much? She said, oh, I bet my children can't wait till I die to get the money. You see? That's what people think, you know. You don't have to leave any money behind. You don't have to leave people money, and you certainly don't have to leave your children money. What you have to leave your children is a prosperity consciousness, and tell them that they're wonderful, that they're loving and deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter, and that they can make their own money. And you build that way, and they build their own, and that's what the Buffetts are doing with their children. They've educated them, they've given them everything, and they said, now you can go out and do what we did and make your own money, and we're giving ours away. And the children said, fine, because they're not lounging around waiting for somebody to drop over dead so that they can get that money. And most of the people who do that, they don't keep the money anyway because they've never built a consciousness of money. They never know how to handle money. Learn how to handle money. Learn to respect money. Remember, I always arrange my money correctly in my wallet with all the faces going up. There's little dog ears and stuff. I always straighten the dog ears out. I straighten all the money out. And I never touch money or my wallet without saying, thank you, God. Never touch money or my wallet without saying, thank you, God. And my wallet always has money in it. And that's a wonderful affirmation. My wallet always has money in it. But we have to learn to respect money. We have to learn to see it and feel it and smell it and sleep with it, you know. And you'll see all the difference in the world when you can build that type of thing when you see money. I have every wallet in my house, I've told you, is filled with money. When I take money from one of the wallets, I say to my mind, now we must pay that back. And because of integrity, because I have to live up to my own word, to my own self, then I replace that money in that wallet, you see. Otherwise, you're not living in integrity with your own self. And that's what a lot of people don't do. And especially when it comes to money. They take the money, but they never put it back. I know if I take my money, it's going to go back. I can make it go back, you see. Money is going out and coming in all the time. Money is always going out and coming in. It's when we hoard money, when we think we don't have money, then we don't have money. And when it's not circulating, it's not going anywhere, you see. What did Dolly Levi say? Thank you.
It has to be spread around to make things grow.
Yeah.
Say a lot of it here. Money's like manure. You have to spread it around to make things grow.
That was Dolly Levi. You have to. You have to use your money. Now, it doesn't mean you just give it away. It doesn't mean you always, with any of this stuff, you have to use wisdom. You have to use wisdom. But you have to build your own prosperity consciousness. And you're the one that decides how much you are worth. No one else can decide how much you are worth. And what happens in most cases, people undervalue themselves. They undervalue themselves. They don't think that they're worth something. I ran into a young man who's a physical trainer. And I said, how much do you charge an hour for physical training? He said, I know a lot of trainers charge a great deal of money. He said, I charge $40. But he said, you know, 12 of it goes back to the gym that we train in. And this happens and that happens. And he said, because he said, you know, I just wouldn't feel good charging more money than that. I said, how many clients do you have? He said, 3. I said, and how many times do they come to the gym? Well, one comes once a week and one comes 3 times a week. And I forget what the other one. I said, you're not making a living, are you? He said, no, I'm not. I said, did you think of charging more? He said, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. He has the training. He has the knowledge. He's a personable young man. People would immediately, if you saw his body, would want to sign up and say, give me a body like that. But in his mind, he does not see that. He does not see how much he is worth. So he's undervaluing himself. And we see this all the time, don't we, Reva?
Oh, yeah.
They undervaluate themselves. And that's, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. What I am learning is to catch up in the world, especially when what things cost, because I always want things to cost nothing, you know. And when I do decide to do something, I think, oh, that'll cost $500 or $600. And the person says, no, I think more like $1,600. And I go, oh, well, I have to readjust my thinking here a minute. But I never begrudge the person, and I think, how wonderful for that person to be able to say, that's how much it costs, and that's how much I'm worth. It's a wonderful thing. And I'll pay the money for it. And I'll pay the money for it. And not go through that whole thing, well, it should only cost this, that, and the other thing. No, I love a good bargain. And I am a very good negotiator when it comes to bargaining and making money. But when somebody says, this is how much it is, and I know that that's really what I say, fine, thank you, I never argue with them. Because there's no play in that, you know? What I mean by play, that's how much it costs. You can't do it. You can't do it with some things. But you have to build that consciousness of your own. Then I immediately say to myself, I can afford this. And then I put my mind to work on how I can afford it. And then I put my mind to work on how I will get that money to return to me. And then it all falls into place. And I get what I want, I pay the bill, and the money that I paid out comes back to me. Always from some other source, always from something else. Because that's the whole idea when we say this world is abundant. All the channels in the universe are open if you use them. If you don't use them, then your abundance and prosperity is held up. It's just held up till you decide, I can open up a new channel. I can see myself doing this. I can see this happening. I can see that happening. And I can open myself to all the good in the world, to all the good that this thing that we call God wants to give us. But most people, it's not because God shows favorites, because we know God doesn't show favorites. And it's not because God doesn't like people. God loves people. After all, if we can't make the statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then that think that God doesn't like you or doesn't like people. But when anything is being held up, it's being held up because of what you are thinking. And God cannot change your mind. You can get on your hands and knees and pray from now to eternity, but you're the one that has to change your mind. Once you change your mind, you've opened up a new channel. So we change our mind about ourselves. We're constantly changing our mind. We're constantly stretching and saying, I can do that. I can receive that. And then you give yourself permission to be able to do that. But we've been taught by brand name religions for so long that it is better to give than to receive, that we absolutely believe that. We absolutely believe that. And it's a wonderful thing to give, but it's a better thing to receive. I love to receive. I love to receive things. But I give, too. I just don't receive. I love to say that to people. I love to receive, and they think, aren't you greedy and all. But I give a great deal of things away. And all the things that I give away always come back to me. They always come back to me. When my brother and sister-in-law were here every day, I bought something for them. It may have been a $3 item, a $4 item, an $8 item, whatever it was. I bought them little things here, there, every day. And they said, you must stop doing this, Dallas. I can't take another thing. Because now they're overwhelmed with receiving, which I wanted to do to them. They're overwhelmed with receiving. But as long when every time I gave something away, I knew that it would come back to me. As soon as they left, I was invited to the ballet. I was invited to the theater. I was invited out to dinner. I was invited to the Ivy restaurant. All those things, more than paid, came back to me. In different ways, it comes back to you. So it's always just giving and receiving and giving and receiving.
You talked last week about tipping.
Yes.
And giving away money. So that was another thing I did this weekend when I was there. And the first thing, when we got off the freeway, there was a woman. And the light was turning, so I said, just grab all the quarters out of my, in the car. I keep little parking notes. Well, I had a bunch of them. And I reached out and I took her hand and I said, it's all changed. She said, baby, thank you so much, because it's more than I had before. And she had the biggest smile.
Yes.
And she was so happy and grateful.
Yes.
And then I really, I'm doing that the rest of this week.
Yes.
At a coffee shop, at the buffet, you don't get waited on. They bring you drinks, but leave, a bigger tip. And everybody was just so gracious.
Yes.
In receiving. It was amazing.
Yes. And isn't it nice to be around people that can take it and say thank you and do that? I tell this story. I have I call her my friend. I don't even know the girl's name. She's a vagrant and lives down in West Hollywood. And she sits in front of this handy market type thing. It's not a handy market, but it sells liquor and tobacco and all that stuff. She's always sitting there. Every time I go by, I give her money. Not change. I give her paper money. She never says a word. No teeth. Last year when I went away for 6 weeks, I was walking down the street, and I saw her coming towards me. She lit up like this and came running up. Where have you been? I have missed you. It was but it was so sincere. It was yes, right. But she didn't say, she didn't ask to have her hand out or anything. She was just delighted to see me. She was just
to make her matter.
Yes.
No, because you see her in the world. You see her.
Yes, and it was fabulous. I thought, where have you been? He said, not can I have money or any of that stuff. But giving is a wonderful thing, and so is receiving a wonderful thing. And that's what we have to remember. Open yourself up to receiving all your good. Open yourself up. Give yourself permission to do that. Don't let your mind talk you out of it by saying, oh, you're not worthy, you're not deserving, you're not lovable, and you don't matter. Or any of the other stuff that goes on inside of your mind that, oh, we don't do that in our family. Oh, this, oh, I was not taught that way. But you don't understand. My mother would be mad at me. Your mother's dead. You know. You have to see what's going on inside of your mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man is born to be rich or inevitably grows so by the use of his faculties. By using your mind, by using all the gifts that you have, you can become wealthy. You can become wealthy. There's nothing holding up money except your thinking. It has nothing to do with the stock market. It has nothing to do with the poor market. My other cousin in Virginia, outside of Washington, is trying to sell their home. They called and said, Dallas, it's not selling. What are we supposed to do? I said, well, did you run around the house loving it? Did you tell the house, thank you very much, you enjoyed living there? Did you tell the house, thank you for all the money that you're going to make when you sell it? Well, no, we didn't think of that. I said, well, try that one. And then start to release that house and see yourself in your new place. And it works every time. But you have to love, you see, what you're doing. You have to love the place. And let it go. But you tell it. I talk to everything. And that's Dennis, my cousin Dennis, who happens to be Aunt Catherine's son. And I said to Dennis, well, you ought to get that, Dennis. I said, after all, your mother humanizes everything. His mother is remarkable. You don't know the story, Krista. Aunt Catherine's going to be 95 in August. She lives by herself, still does everything for herself. And keeps her money, and she's terrific with money, and she can still balance her checkbook to the penny. Never has a complaint, never does anything, but she gives life to everything. When I was there, used to visit her when I was a child in the summer, she'd say, now, don't run that vacuum too long, Dallas. It's a hot day. It may get tired. You see. But she sees everything with human qualities in it. Everything with human qualities in it. It must work since she's living a great, healthy life. And here's a woman that's living, I think, on Social Security. In fact, I know she's living on Social Security. Now, I'm sure her son helps her somewhat. She never complains about that Social Security. And if you go to her house, you'll walk away with something. You know, you'll walk away with a jar of jelly, she'll give you something. And she always says, I have everything. When I was in college one time, she sent me a dollar bill in the mail, and the little note said, believe it or not, this is all that I have, but you're more than welcome to it, Dallas, because I want for nothing. And all her life she's always said, I want for nothing. She wants for nothing, and she has everything. And here's how she has everything. And Reva was with me. This at the beginning of the summer, I went to Stein Mart and bought her 5 summer purses. Because she said to me on the phone, you know, a lady cannot appear in public with the same bag all the time, Dallas. So I sent her 5 purses. That's her abundance and her prosperity. She didn't ask me. She wants for nothing, but she receives. And she got that. You see? Does this make sense? Do you see how it works? And then it comes to you.
Can you also fill the purses with dollar bills?
Well, that was a couple years ago. I sent her a purse and I filled it with 100 $1 bills all crumpled up so that when she'd open it, it would spring out of her. And she has I have a picture of her with that because I have taught her. And she said, I stand here at my counter, Dallas, and I go, money, money, money. And she knew she uses the affirmation. She uses those things. And that's one thing. Is everyone here still using money affirmations? Are you still doing money is freely circulating in my life and I always have it assigned surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. Checks come to me in the mail. I'm always looking for a check in the mail when I go to the mailbox. All those, we have to keep using those and then they become real. But we do something about it. So, money is a wonderful thing, and we all need money. It's the freedom that you're looking for. But along with that, you have to have a money consciousness, and you have to have a prosperity consciousness, and you have to change your mind about yourself and about the money itself. Otherwise, you're going to get large sums of money, and you're not going to be able to hold on to them. You could only hold on to what is yours by right of consciousness. If it's not by right of consciousness, you cannot hold on to it. Now, I'll use this example, and please don't do this at home. Because I can sit and convince myself that what I have is mine by right of my consciousness, I never protect it in any way. I can leave my house with the door open. I can leave my wallet in the car overnight. I can do those things because I firmly believe that what I have is mine by right of consciousness. I have stretched my consciousness. I have worked on myself. I'm able to accept all the things that I have so they stay with me. Do you remember when the lady came to my house and her car got broken into on my street, which is a lovely street? They didn't take anything, they just broke her window. Now, that was total fear on her part. That day when I left the house, I locked my door. Because she was in my home and she brought fear with her. Until I was able to clear that out of my house and out of my consciousness, I locked the door. Now it's gone and everything is back to normal. People say to me, oh, on Sunday, people came and I said, well, the door was open. Somebody said, someday somebody's going to come in and take all this stuff. And somebody else said, it's going to take them a long time.
Yeah.
They'll get caught before they get all this stuff out of here.
And one wall.
But we do this to ourselves with our mind, with our thinking. I worked on this. I wasn't always able to do that. I always thought, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Now when I'm around people that are fearful and frightful, like, oh, lock the car door. Now, I never lock my car doors, and the keys are in the car. My brother and sister-in-law went banana over that because they're so used to locking everything up. How could you? Oh, in this city, how would you ever? Oh, my goodness. I said, I don't lock the door. I don't lock the door. And when I have some people get out the pantry and they immediately lock that door, and I say to them, now how are you going to get back in? They said, what do you mean? I said, you've locked the door. Now how are you going to get back in? You say, I don't have a key to that door. I have a key to that door. I hate keys, number one. You see, that is a total, I hate to use this, race mind thing, you know. And we'll never probably get rid of those things until everyone's consciousness changes. Because if we decided that no one could take anything from us, what would happen to all the police force? What would happen to all the security systems and all the industry that's built around fear of loss? There's a whole industry built around fear of loss. And if we took that away, what would it do to the economy? What would people, they'd have to find something else to do, you see. They'd have to find something else to do. So if you want a quick thing, if you grew up where it was what? And a candlestick maker. What was that little thing we used? And a candle.
Butcher, baker,
candlestick maker. Yes, and they
lawyer,
were.
Indian.
Chief. Yes, and. Yes. So, right there, that tells, and thief. They tell you what the world is and what people are and what kind of categories people are put into, you see. We do that to ourselves. This thing we call God doesn't do that. We're the ones that are making up this world. We're making it up with our consciousness. We're the ones who go around and say, well, you know how people are. I'd lock that door. You know, they're stealing all over town. Where are they stealing all over town? You know, they said once, every 22 seconds a car gets broken into in Los Angeles, I think. So I stood for 22 minutes on my street. No cars were broken into. I'm glad that I'm always on the wrong street. Because when I'm on the wrong street, I'm on the right street. Yes, a lot of things occur to me. But one thing that doesn't occur to me is that people are out to get me. That people are out to take my money. That people are awful. That never occurs to me. When somebody, a tradesman, comes to my house, I immediately take that tradesman. I do not say, oh, I'm going to check with three other tradesmen or four other tradesmen to get the best deal. I know that whoever comes through my door always offers me the best deal, is always the most honest person, and will do absolutely a fabulous job. That's what I keep in my consciousness, and that's what happens to me. I don't spend a great deal of time checking things out. I let that to a higher consciousness who knows to bring me the right and perfect people. So I eliminate that stuff from my life. Well, I don't have those horrible stories to tell that other people tell of how badly things went for them and how awful that tradesperson was. That's done with your consciousness. That is done with your consciousness.
So you blame misfortunes on the person to whom the misfortune happens?
Pardon? I never blame anything on anybody.
But you said that the fear of the woman was creating danger and you were on the door because of it.
Yes. Did I blame that on her? No, I didn't say I blamed it on her. I was using my wisdom. And I realized that that fear was all there. And that fear did not belong to me. But since that fear was there, I knew that that fear could draw something into that. So I locked the door that day. But the fear was hers. But the fear, fear goes out from you. Fear goes all around you. You can be around a fearful person and you know you can feel the fear the same way love goes out from you. You see, all we are is consciousness. We think we're these bodies. We extend much further than these bodies.
So you just carefully avoid blaming people for what they're feeling?
I don't like the word blame. I try never to use the word blame. You must be responsible for what you've done. You must know that you are always the cause onto your own experience, and you can accept that responsibility without any blame or shame or guilt. Once you know that you are responsible, that you are responsible for your actions and your reactions, that you're always the cause onto your own experience, that's the freedom now that you have. You cannot blame it on anybody else. And I don't blame other people for what happens to them. They have to change their mind. Does that help you?
I'm just saying for you.
But it's all done with our mind. It's done with our thinking. So if you want more money in your life, you have to think prosperous thoughts. You have to think abundant thoughts, and you have to see money around you all the time. And you have to give yourself permission to have those. But it starts in your thinking, and it starts with, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.